Administration Committee of Wednesday, February 19th, to order at 6:02 p.m. We have myself, Alderman Trangier, Peterson, Clocher, and guests, Alderman Koch, Mayor Purcell, staff, and Court Carlson, actually. Do we have any citizens' comments? Seeing none. Minutes for correction? Any comments on the minutes?
Nope.
All right, we'll take them approved as presented. New business, admin 2020-08, budget report for November, December of 19, and January of 20.
Pick that up, please.
Do you want to comment on the budget report, Byron?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Sorry, we're moving along.
I guess so. I do have two things to report. I'm going to go one piece of good news and one piece of bad news. Well, I'm pulling up the good news, I'll get you the bad news first. So, the governor gave his budget address this afternoon and released his budget, which is basically tied to the income tax referendum at the end of the year. So, unexpectedly, somewhat, he has included a cut to LGDF contingent upon passage or fail of the income tax referendum at the end of the year. So, we used to get, let's just say, 100% of what the local allocation is for state income taxes. A few years ago, they cut 5% of that and swept it away. So we're only getting 95% of what we should be getting for state income tax. So his proposal is to take another 5 percentage points from that, so basically giving us 90% of what we should be getting in state income tax, and holding it in reserve. And if the income tax referendum passes in November, that they're going to give us that money back, plus an additional $100 million statewide, which is on top of about $1.3 billion in LGDF. So that works out to be about a 7.5% increase. So the timing of this is going to go, and this is just a proposal at this point, so who knows if it'll pass in the budget. So it's been proposed now. The state is to pass their budget by the end of May. They usually do, and I would expect that they probably will this year, whether this is included or not, remains to be seen. The referendum is, or the proposal right now is that they'll start sweeping LGDF in July, so July 1st. The referendum's in November, and then, so they'll know, you know, the first week in November, whether that's up or down. And so, starting in February of 2021, they would either be giving us a lot more LGDF than we're getting currently, so it'd probably be to the tune of, I don't think we've calculated yet, a couple $100,000 a year. Or the money that they started sweeping from us in July, because the referendum fails, is just gone. So we've already put that into our budget proposal to just plan for the worst-case scenario, and so we'll see what happens there.
Is that in the one now? Like tonight's version already?
It's not in the budget report yet,
okay.
But in the budget proposal that be releasing in the next week or two, it will be in there. So we're planning for the worst-case scenario, too. Second, so the good news, is sales tax performance. So we've got in there, let's see, the budget. Let's go to the January report.
Page 118.
118, thank you. So the sales tax column for January 20th, so that's got $276,086 in it, so that's regular sales tax, represents the consumer sales in the month of October, so it's the November state reports. That was significantly higher than we expected. We expected only about $257,000, so it was $18,000 above where we expected historically, which is a great number, obviously. And then the next column, so next month's report, that we already know, is going to be $262,000, and we had only expected about $255,000. So that's about $7,000 above what we had expected.
Is that for November sales?
That would be, yes, November sales. And so, historically, November sales for us have started to track upwards, where December sales have kind of been less of a percentage of the whole. So it's not that December sales aren't going up too, but it seems like maybe more people are shopping in November. Maybe that's just the way the month is.
Well, because of, remember, we got that Halloween store this year.
Oh, true? Okay.
That had something to do with the October one.
That was the first year it was there too, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. A little.
Good catch. Good thought.
And then they had that. They would have been clearing it out on November.
Yeah. So that could be part of the reason too. I won't be able to verify that specifically in public, and not for a few months.
Right.
But yeah, it's a potential explanation. But we've had two back-to-back months where we've significantly beat expectations, which is adverse to the national trend. So the national trend for Christmas sales this year was relatively flat for in-person purchases. So, I mean, we'll see what happens here in the next 3 weeks when the Christmas sales get released. But in general, we were much better than expected. And so with 8 months of the 12 months reported so far for the fiscal year, if all the rest of the months just meet where we expect their historical averages, we should be about 50 grand above budget. So obviously we'll see how that occurs, but that's where we're tracking right now. And then if anybody else has any questions on the budget report, I'm happy to answer them.
Any questions or comments on those three? All right, that's informational for us. Thank you. Next item, admin 2020-09, treasurer's report for November and December of 19 and January of 20.
Month ended November 30th, 2019, beginning fund balance of $13,124,377, year-to-date revenues of $20,636,214, year-to-date expenses of $16,755,000, for a projected ending fund balance of $17,005,592. For the month ended December 31st, 2019, beginning fund balance of $13,124,377, year-to-date revenues of $23,448,46, expenses of $22,460,062, for projected ending fund balance of $14,112,361. For the month ended January 31st, 2020, beginning fund balance of $13,124,377, year-to-date revenues of $24,875,442, year-to-date expenses of $25,278,045, for a projected ending fund balance of $12,721,774.
Any comments or thoughts on those? All right. We'll move that forward to council. Anyone on the committee object to putting that on consent?
Nope.
Anybody not on the committee?
Get on there. Once again, I'm going to overrule you, Chris.
That's still a rule of the council that we have consent.
Why did you get rid of that?
Oh, it's still there. I just don't add stuff to it.
Well, yeah, but why don't you just wipe it out? Then you don't have to say nothing
to council. Yeah, you set the agenda, yeah. You set the form of the agenda. I set the agenda.
So, gotcha. Move to consent if anybody has any objections.
We have a lot of backstory and various instances that govern that process, yes.
All right, so
I'm sure I could call Valerie, she could tell me about it.
I'm sure she would. That's true. A long conversation for that one.
She called me, I can call her back.
All right, next item. Admin 2020-10 cash statements for October, November, and December of 19.
Informational as always. Cash balances are on the first page, and the investment balances consisting of certificate of deposits are on the second page.
Nothing out of the ordinary on those?
No, we did receive an IMIC payment in December for $133,000. So that puts our collected total at $177,000, about 56% of the proceeds. So I did want to. I did update the cash sheet accordingly to reflect that receipt.
We booked that in January?
Oh, we booked it in December.
December, okay. So that was actually something. Did you talk about that in the budget report?
I can't remember if I mentioned it or not.
So it shows off as like a miscellaneous revenue.
That shows up as a gain on investment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And that's what that is. So we wrote it off as bad debt years ago.
Right. Because we weren't sure if we were going to get anything further.
Correct.
So, and still, we're not sure if anything else will.
Right.
Okay. That's informational. If anyone has no additional comments on that one. All right. Next item is Admin 2020-11 website report for November, December, and January of 20.
We, all of the reports are in there. We had the dip in our social media and on our website that is expected to hit in December because we have a low amount of events that month. So we're really not pointing people towards anything on our website. Our social media was still high in all three departments just because of closures, garbage, all of that other good stuff that people are looking for this time of the year. Our average on our website has stayed around the same, right around the 3-minute mark. People are on our website, so they're getting the information and then getting off. And if anybody has any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thoughts on what we've got going on with the website or social media, I should say?
No.
All seems to be a good trend still.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Again, that's informational for us. If anybody wants to see anything different or different formats, you can always let Aaron know.
Of course.
Through with it. Next item, Admin 2020-12. This is the quarterly vehicle replacement insurance. Okay.
This is our working document. It shows every vehicle we have in the fleet, how often it should be replaced, and then this is what we use to calculate the annual targets for funding, for capital, for the different departments. So if anybody has any questions about specific vehicles, we can see if we can answer them. Otherwise, we can bring it back to the next meeting.
Obviously, we're taking care of some of them through Public Works, and the police department's been taking care of pretty well. Anything surprising that's coming out of this, or are we still kind of just on track, everything balancing a little more in terms of what we're going to be replacing on a regular basis?
Well, I mean, last year's budget proposal had some pretty modest replacements, and we did exceed those. I believe it was at the end of the year we had bought a couple more police cars than we potentially had expected.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's been no change since last budget year, but the budget proposal in a couple weeks, I'm sure, will be a little different than the past year's capital funding.
Anybody have any questions on that? All right. Next item, we have the Admin 2020-13, the AACVB 2020 Marketing Plan Strategy.
We have Court Carlson from the AACVB here tonight to give us an overview of the 2020 plan already started. And then at our City Council meeting on Tuesday night, he will be here to give the presentation of how 2019 went. And it had a really good year.
We had a great year.
Yeah, but now we're looking forward. And if you have any comments, feel free to give them to Court tonight. And I'll just turn it over to him.
We're just going
to
walk through what we're proposing for your. We work with staff on this and make our recommendations based on what we've done in the past and kind of successes and how we think we might want to move some things around to get the best bang for your buck. So certainly we're going to keep with a lot of the same programs, the social media, digital, and then some print. But we are moving more of our dollars into the digital formats. We're seeing, obviously, much greater engagement and activity. They can click directly through to the GoYorkville.com page, get the information on Yorkville specific. So we are bumping that up a little bit, about $2,000 for this year in digital. And then social media is still performing well, but we're seeing that it's, you know, Facebook isn't quite what it was a couple years ago. So we do have $9,000 still projected in social media, but we're also looking at the different platforms as well, moving into Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest as well. We'll kind of experiment with some of those other platforms and see how they perform. The beauty of digital and social media is you can change it, you can stop it, you can start it whenever you want. So if something isn't working, we just cut it off and move some of those dollars somewhere else. But really the main goal of the social and digital is to drive that traffic directly to the GoYorkville.com website where they get all the immediate information. And you'll see all those metrics on Tuesday when we kind of walk through 19 to see, you know, what the outcome of those projects were last year and see the success rate of some of those click-throughs and the engagement that we're seeing. And it's certainly keeping our neighborhood tourist magazines was very popular. This year it reached a great audience as a Shaw Media publication, but it goes through all the Shaw Media projects, so it's all over Illinois, which is it's a great publication for us, and we're seeing really good good engagement on that as well.
Which one was that, did you say?
It's Neighborhood Tourist Magazine.
And who does that?
Shaw Media. So
really?
It's part of the Shaw Media. It's one-off publication.
But it's a magazine, not the digital side of it?
Correct. It's a
really?
An actual hard copy magazine.
Oh, that's interesting. I'd try that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, so, and again, it's local, but also it's regional as well. So you're reaching a local audience with your message, but also you're reaching all over Chicagoland, and then even in downstate Illinois where they own their newspapers. So it goes to all their circulation areas. Naval Magazine has performed well for Yorkville. Also in the past, we're going to keep with that. Again, it's not local, but it's not too far away either, especially for special events. And some of the things happening down by the river, it's a great publication for Yorkville. And we've had some great success with our media production in the last year. And what we do there is we're using some of the funds from Yorkville to go ahead and gather the videos and photography library for the city, which we use for our own promotions and marketing, and also then the city has full access to those as well. And you guys own those. The one thing we talked about is hopefully waiting until maybe in the fall. We might have some snow next Christmas. We have a lot of video and photos from the holiday events the last 2 years, but it hasn't snowed for 2 years around the holiday season. So we have money put into that, but then we can also, if we're not having snow, we just don't see the need to do that, we can then roll that right into some digital and social spending late in the year, too, for the holidays. But we don't need to actually go out and get more video and photos if it looks the same as it has the last 2 years. So we're really hoping that we get some snow for the holidays in 2020 and get some good photos, and then after that it can be, 75 and sunny out here. and one of the things that I want to point out too is, your spend is about $26,000, but because of our buying power and the amount of advertising stuff that we're doing, not only for Yorkville but our other partners as well, and for our own larger regional marketing campaigns, there's a savings and kind of value add of about $10,000 that city receives, just because we can buy down a lot of these programs for you guys, especially like a Neighborhood Tourist and Naperville Magazine. We can combine these with other buys, so it's really saving the city quite a bit of money. There's a value add to your investment.
Anybody have any questions or comments on that?
Did I hear you say you're switching to Twitter, and what else?
We're looking at Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest.
You're getting more results from those now, less with Facebook?
From things like Twitter and Instagram, yes. Pinterest is something new. We're kind of experimenting with that a little bit. But Facebook is kind of waning in terms of the engagement, and the cost associated with reaching the right audience is getting greater and greater.
But Twitter and Instagram are just getting better.
Instagram especially.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't do any of those.
A lot of people are going away from Facebook and going to Instagram.
Yeah.
It's funny.
And we'll do all of them, but we'll experiment.
What's the one Trump does all the time?
Twitter.
That's Twitter, okay.
Yeah. And we'll use the same message on each platform, and we'll see how each platform performs, and then we can move things around. We're going to try each one differently and see what happens this year. And again, if we try, Pinterest and it's just not working, we just pull it off and we put that money somewhere else. Being digital, you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, which is kind of nice. You're not tied into contracts or, a print ad that sits there for 6 months. But I think you're going to be really pleased with the results that we can present on Tuesday. Good year, and we're going to just dovetail into 2020 and keep doing the performance and bringing the business to.
So what will you report Tuesday?
We'll go through the 2019 recap of the marketing plan, all the metrics and the results.
So more detail on this.
Mm-hmm. Well, on last year's program. So we'll update,
right.
We'll tell you what we did last year and the metrics, and then we'll present this to the full council as well.
And how much time should we allot for you?
I mean, I can do it in 5 minutes. I can do it in 20 minutes. You tell me. I mean,
five is perfect. Five's perfect.
Let's go for three. How's that? It depends on the questions. I mean,
no, I get that.
I'll go through it, and then I really leave room for questions. But, you know, I know we're all on a time crunch right here, so I don't want to take too much time at a council meeting. But it's good news to share, and I think it's important that the full council sees what we're doing and how we're spending the Yorkville dollars.
Yeah, it's kind of the annual discussion as to, like, what we've been through with AACDB, you know, if we want to continue to partner with them. It's like, you know, it's kind of the whole package.
Give and
take
them.
Yeah, here's what we've done. Here's how well it's worked. What do you think was great type thing, yeah.
And then one thing is, we have an event, bless you, new event in May, Margaritas and Mayo. We really are hoping to have lots of people. It's the last day of school, assuming there's no snow days, which is looking less and less likely to have snow days. Not impossible. May 21st, 5 to 9. I'm really stoked about it. We have a mariachi band. I'm promoting every chance I get. Yes, I am.
Well, we'll make sure we get into our program then for this year.
Yeah, maybe it should be the mayor's margaritas in Mayo.
There you go.
3M. Yeah, 3M.
You need to wrap your truck in
3M
advertisement.
I should put a big honking sombrero on the top of it.
There you go.
And actually, the mariachi band should play in the back of it. That would be great. Yeah, whatever they say.
All right. Does anybody have any questions or comments on the marketing plan? I mean, this is more of a formality for us to review it and approve it by council as it's developed with staff. So this is just kind of putting our rubber stamp on it.
Yeah, we want feedback.
Exactly.
I think we've found value in the digital marketing. Like, the event partners, like Summer Solstice and Around Town, have really liked it. And then internally, I mean, I really like media production, just having B-roll footage of events and photos to be able to use in the future. Like, video and photo campaigns is big. So
I know I've talked to Tim about this and how the program works, and they've really liked it and thought that it's going well. So for our second year rolling out this program, I think it's really helping the communities.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. Thank you all.
Thanks.
So with that,
thank
we'll
you.
See you all on Tuesday.
We will move that to the council.
Do you go to the chamber dinner tomorrow night or not?
I'm not. I'm making up. I have a choir concert at the high school.
Oh, good for you. You're in high school?
No, for my daughter.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize you're that.
And I don't sing either, so I'm out on both accounts.
Thank you, Corey. Right,
thank you.
All right. So that will move to the city council. Next item, admin 2014, request to dispose of surplus equipment.
All right. Carrie's got a nice memo in the packet here for disposal of a folding machine, which we no longer use.
What is it?
It's, we would put in utility bills or whatever mailers we needed to do in an envelope, so it, like, loads the envelope.
Oh, okay.
Literally, like, fold everything and stuff the envelope,
oh, okay,
and then spit it out. So you could do, like, thousands of them in
right.
a few minutes.
Yeah.
It was very loud.
They always work great, too, if you're willing to do it, then it would inevitably break down. So.
Yeah, I just wondered what it was.
I didn't know.
And we've outsourced most of the, like, the mailing and production of, really, utility bills and surveys
everything.
And everything else, so
we're not
we don't
doing
have
much
for it yet.
I thought we had a conversation about reducing
meetings.
The threshold.
Increasing it.
Making
it less stringent.
Yeah, making it less stringent for what we can.
We did. We have not finished the ordinance yet, but Carrie's working.
That's
going to
be coming forward, so that's something like this, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. I think the threshold she's recommending is $5,000 at a staff level.
I believe so, yes.
Of original value. $500.
Original value.
Yeah.
Original value, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this thing purchased in 2007
or something like that.
Would easily fall under that.
Yep. This, you just throw in the dumpster and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not worth trying to sell it.
No one's going to buy it.
I think Ace wants one.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, I assume we're going to move that to City Council. Any objection? Didn't hear any? All right, admin 2015, elected official salary increase discussion. This is something I asked to have put on here. This has not been discussed since, I believe, the original ordinance was 2006, and then there was an amendment for the, I think we have had two amendments since then. One, I think, was the stipend for special meetings.
Yep.
It was raised from 35 to 135 because I think that was a I think when that was done, staff brought it that it was an oversight. And there was one other one in there, but I don't recall what that was. Federal benefits, the change of benefit. So this is on here for discussion, as it's been quite a while since it's been discussed and looked at. Bart has brought some general comps based on as close to comparable communities that we can do. You know, there's no exact structure, population, demographics that match us exactly, but this is their best at what is comparable to us. And you can see the spread is all over the place. Even on the mayor's side, that one spreads pretty wildly, too. So the thought is we want to take a look at it, get some thoughts and feedback. We don't have to make any decisions, but see if there's thoughts on adjustments for these. And I'll open it up for discussion or staff input.
Well, it looks like everybody kind of needs to take a look at it.
What's that?
It says it looks like everybody kind of needs to take a look at it.
Yeah. You know, I did a quick, based on what our CPI has been in our geographic area, I went through, pulled that from the state. If you were to have applied CPI to our base salary, we'd go from $3,600 to $5,200 if we were following that percentage. Now, I'm not saying that's what we need to be at, but that kind of gives you a baseline of salaries and other things. If you're following along with what they would have had done, you know, statewide, you could see an increase of that. And that's just on the element. The mayor's would be even more. So, anybody have any thoughts on that? In terms of our structure, we're base salary plus a stipend for the meetings we attend at council. I don't see a need to change that structure. I think that works out well. You know, you get your base, and then if you show up to a meeting, you get the other. But I think an adjustment wouldn't be out of line. It's a matter of where we want to go on that.
Chris, when would this kick in?
My thought on implementation would be the term 3 years from now. So it would be the election following the term following 2023. So that would say that anyone who was elected in 21, they would get an increase halfway through their term, but anyone elected in 23 would get it when they come in. So it's nobody currently sitting through their term would get that raise.
I'll have to check with Kathy on how that changes midterm. If you communicated it in advance, I think it's legal.
Yes.
Like if we approve it prior to whatever the timeline is.
Because it would be 180 days prior to the 21 election.
But if you did it afterwards, it wouldn't be able to go into effect until the next.
So if we did this where it was at least 180 days before the election of the 2021 cycle, it would be able to be. That way, everybody at the same time gets the same pay scale. Even if you're halfway through your term or you're new coming into your term, that way you don't have a discrepancy on it. It's a little easier to manage. So that would be my thought, is at 23, that would be the time that it would kick in. If we were to approve it now, if this drags out, then maybe it pushes to 25, you know, somewhere on one of those skids. This is an awfully quiet discussion.
I mean, bump it up a little bit.
Well, what do you think of the stipend number? So right now we get $100 per meeting. Same thing, if you follow CPI, if that had been changed, we'd be at $145 if we were to go with that. So we got two numbers to talk about. One, it would be the stipend. One would be the base salary. Any thoughts on moving that up?
What if we were just on the meetings to make it 150 for the meetings?
To go 150 for the meeting part of it, and then
right, leave the other ones alone.
Well, you want to do an increase on the base pay?
Because that would increase it by.
Wasn't that 100 bucks?
Well, you'd be increasing it by 1,300 a year.
Yeah.
1,300
or 1,200?
Yeah,
you're
right.
There's
24 meetings at $100.
But there's not 24, there's 23.
Yeah, but you
right,
figure
yeah.
that. You figure
right. Right.
You know, you figure we have right. at least one special meeting a year for the goal setting, so that offsets the
oh, yeah, 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 so, yeah, right.
And then occasionally we do have a special throughout the year. Anybody opposed to, you know, considering raising that the base $3,600, you know, $1,000 or $1,500? I mean, we're talking about future councils that would be getting this number.
Yeah, it's not us.
Right.
Yeah, you've got CPI through this year, but this is three more years of CPI.
Yeah, and so, right. and that's what I figured is, and actually, I'm sorry, when I said that 5,200, that was through 23, not
oh, okay.
through this year.
So you're guessing 2% a year. Like
yeah, assuming that 2% still through there would take you up from 3,600 to 5,200. But if we did, you know, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000, you know, if you said 5,000 would be the base pay in 23, you know, that's a $1,400 increase.
Chris, I told you my thoughts. I don't think anyone does this for the money, but at the same time, to go over 15 years without even looking at it.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's why we're struggling.
Your time, all your time is worth something, and it really is. And again, you don't do it for the money, but
mm-hmm.
your time's worth something, and you know, by the time 2023 kicks around, that's what, 17, 18 years since you even looked at it?
Yeah.
If I understand it correctly. Yeah.
Yeah, since the last time the salary component was looked at, yeah.
Yeah, you know, if somebody wants to criticize, I can tell you, people are going to complain.
Oh, yeah.
For 1 week on Facebook or Twitter or whatever the hell it is, and two people read it, and then they'll forget about it. And
yeah, they'll forget about it.
In the meantime, in 3 years, whoever's still here, you're going to say, Jesus, I do it for $3.27 an hour instead of $2.98 an hour.
Right. Well, we were talking about decreasing the mayors, weren't we, to offset it?
Yeah,
Joe. Yeah. I said that's fair. Hey, 2023, you can run again, Joe. I'm not done.
Hello.
I haven't looked at these numbers, actually. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, the mayors would be increased with the city council as well, right?
Yes,
and that's another discussion is what would we slide that to? The mayor's base is currently at 8,500.
Yeah, but didn't you see everybody else's?
And, you know, he gets the same stipend for council, yeah. But then there's also a liquor commission base stipend, which with the liquor commission, depending on what we do with this, I'd be inclined to roll that just right into it, the number, make it one lump sum. And get rid of the
tokens or samples or whoever the mayor is, sorry.
you know, just for simplicity, roll it together. I mean, some of them do pay that separately, not many of them. But the mayors would scale similarly, I think.
So is there a proposal for a number then?
12 million.
What do you think? So if we were to bump it to 5,000, that's a $1,400 increase. If you bump it 1,900, that's to 5,500. Any thoughts in that range?
So we throw in free water bills too?
Boy, you're going to like black and underwear.
Yeah, I'm fine with this.
Yeah.
I don't hear what you were just talking about. Joe sidetracked me.
That's fine. Okay. We have decided to drop yours down to $400 a year.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a zero.
It's still above South Elgin.
South
300.
Oh, 300.
Yeah, what's up?
Wow, really?
300 per board meeting is what they get per meeting.
But how many? And there's only two a month.
24. Is that for alderman or mayor?
Mayor.
300.
So it's alderman.
$600 a month for, and then
alderman and half.
Yeah. Nice.
That.
I know it doesn't pay well, but
it's all about prestige of the office,
yeah, right?
Right. That's what it is.
I tell my friends, I'm the liquor commissioner. I got to check out your basement bar. No one's taking me up on it yet.
So, if we were to do a $1,900 base and then go to $150 on the per diem, or not the per diem, but the stipend, that's $6,700. Am I correct on that?
Sounds right.
$3,600 with the $1,900, that's $55. $1,200. I'm sorry. any of the base.
Plus 3450 roughly. 30,
yeah, I was doing just the difference of the anchors. What's it? So it's 3450.
Yeah, that would be 23 meetings at $150 a meeting. So it'd be like, what, 89.50 total?
89.50, yep. Yeah. I missed the base part of the first $100 we were talking about.
And what is it now? $6,000 maximum.
Six max?
Yeah.
So you're rough 50%.
Six is our base
in 15 plus years. So I don't want to complain about it.
Right, and it's not like we're going from 50,000 to 75.
You go to $1,000 a month.
So we're basically saying it's a difference. It's $2,950.
It's under minimum wage.
Is the increase
for the amount of time you put into it.
How far can you scale that up for the mayors?
Well, so we're getting 150 for the meeting.
Yeah, 150 and then
new tax
on that one, and then
whatever the percentage is. Increase on taxes.
Sales tax.
You see, we've had a vote
for
four, so he's forced to vote.
And then,
yeah, I told him
I'll
vote.
I don't care.
I'm not
going to
find it at all.
So for public consumption, too, we don't pay into any type of a retirement. That does not apply, and this as it used to. So these increases aren't something that compound over time.
Right.
It's something to point out. We're not paying these.
That would be the equivalent is like $12,986, so round that up to
$13,000.
$13,000, yeah. For mayor plus, you're saying, 150 a meeting.
Mm-hmm. Does that include the liquor commissioner?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so actually that's 9,500, right? Because it's 1,000 for a liquor commissioner. So actually, you're wrapping that in, and it ends up being 14,513. So you get 14,500 or 14,600.
14,400 is 100. That's 12,200 a month, I think.
Yeah,
it's a round number. All right, whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Rachel,
you said 14,200.
14,400.
14,400. So that's the wrong number.
150 meetings is about the same.
Yeah, so if we want
scale equivalency.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Any other thoughts on that one?
My caveat, having seen this happen in other towns, is the public will read into it on a percentage basis, not necessarily when it's going to impact.
Yeah.
So we'll just need to make sure that we're talking about that last time that it's been impacted. I forget which town it was I was reading about last year, but they did it. Implemented it, and it wasn't, I think it wasn't even a large increase, and then they tried to rescind it, and can't rescind it once it's been approved, and you've entered into the term, so if you approve it like the next meeting, you can back out of it anytime before the 180 days before the salary survey goes, but, I mean, historically, people look at the percentage.
I think whenever you do it, there'll be a few people.
There's going to be for people. A week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they don't. You'll hear about it for a little while. And then
it's something that needed to be discussed, and I know it's a tough conversation to bring up, but...
My only other thought is, we talk about this with everybody else and every other thing that we do that's related to revenue, but should it be tied to inflation? That way you don't have to readjust it every few years. I mean, you can make inflation modest, like 1.5% or 2%, but... You know, it alleviates from the conversation lagging for a long time, and then you're like, why haven't we touched this? Well,
because nobody wants to.
It's difficult, yeah. People don't want to, talk about it except the raise, but it needs to be done.
Is that something that we'd want to consider? Is after the implementation of it that it's automatically tied to inflation numbers, or have it on the review, and then in 20 years?
I would say, increase it, by a per whatever.
2%?
Per year?
Yeah.
Then you're not having the same discussion. Yeah, you're not having the same fight with your constituents every 5 years.
Yeah, so then they're mad at you all at one shot.
Yeah.
They'll forget about it.
Yeah. It's not going to be in the paper.
It won't be in the paper.
Well,
not
but it won't be like every, a 5-year thing where you're discussing.
By the time competitions go out again, they'll forget.
Are you going on any baseball trips in the next couple weeks? I was gonna say because if you are, if you don't want to go on, we'll make sure you're not at that meeting.
So we would. Are we saying maybe instead of just going with the inflation, you go with the flat fee, 2% or?
Yeah, I would say just make it a flat.
Okay.
Whatever.
And then that's for 2%. Both council and mayor. Is that the base salary and the stipend number, or is that just the one?
I would just do the salary. Leave the stipend as is.
Keep it simple. If that needs to be adjusted in 20 more years, you adjust it.
Right. We're all here with canes, except for you and you. You'll be in. Yeah, we also have 2-year-old kids off both of them.
Yeah. No. That's impossible. Well, I guess I did buy the last one to get my more.
And at the same time, special meetings, do we move that from 1:30 to 1:50?
I think it's the intent was special meetings are more expensive than a regular meeting because they're more inconvenient for people.
They're not a regular
schedule. Well, then, you know,
that's
the macro economist in me includes your micro economist, too.
How many those do we have?
You're
one or two.
Just
keep it the same.
And you're scheduled. I mean, everyone gets input on when to do it.
I do remember that.
Chosen.
No, it's true for your schedule, but we do one or two a year. Make it the same if you can make it, can, if you can't, can.
I mean, we're not going through the landfill when there were 45 different special meetings.
Oh, you didn't hear that? Somebody applied today?
Then whatever. Because it was, I remember it was 100. And then somebody pointed out that
that's no
me, or I don't remember, and it was.
You do it all, whatever you want, right, but I would leave it the same.
Yeah, it hit it all 150. All
meetings are, I don't see the need to bump it up an extra $30. Okay. There's
in 3 years.
This
thing is remembered. So,
City council packets go out tomorrow. With the 2%, I mean, it should be relatively easy to model, but I would say just to be safe, we're probably looking at the first meeting in March to add this ordinance on there, if that's okay. We've got some other things to work on tomorrow.
Roll it out. Can we roll it out during the margaritas in May? Wouldn't know what happened.
We should have a special meeting that night.
That would be a special meeting. Very special.
I'd like to trombone. I could be in a. I should be in. Are there trombones there, or are they just trumpets? I don't remember.
Trumpets and guitars, right?
Brass. And I was never good at it.
All right, so that will move to the council for the first March meeting.
Yep.
Any additional conversation? All right. Next item is the 2020-16-90 bid for electric accounts.
A couple of our electric supply accounts are coming due at the end of the month that we have for our water treatment plants, lift stations, and wells. So NYMEC has approached us based on their historical information. They think the appropriate time to go out for bid is March 3rd, the beginning of March. The resolution in front of you would allow staff to authorize the new contract for the provision of electrical supply. Because we have to execute the contract once the bid is announced. We have till the end of business to either accept or reject. So this resolution would give Bart, as administrator, the right to enter that contract for either a 1, 2, or 3-year term.
So we're basically giving staff the authority to act on our best interest if the rates are good. If not, nothing happens.
Yep. Every year it's been a pretty easy decision as far as the 1, 2, versus 3. Like, one of them has been wildly cheaper than the rest. So I think there was 1 year where I think there was a small difference between the 1 and the 2. I don't remember which way we went, but you know, there was a little bit of risk involved and it worked out okay. So let's say this money, which has been good.
Anybody have any questions on that one? We will move that forward to City Council.
That's exactly okay.
All right. Admin 2020-17 IT contract. Informational at this point?
Yeah, there's a long memo in there. I would not anticipate that there would be a City Council vote on this either next Tuesday or maybe the first meeting in March, could be end of March. Long story short is that the consortium is moving from one type of a contract to another. It's going to have some different standards in there for how they're met. We won't have specific hours that our IT people have to be on site. It basically just says, like, when something breaks, you need to fix it within a certain amount of time. The good news is our base contract amount is actually going to go down slightly, but it's also not going to include some special projects which are currently included in our base contract. So at the end of the year, after we do everything with changing out computers and network equipment, our total price should be about the same, but we should get better service from it. So that's the gist of it. I wanted to make sure that I've raised it early enough so that when you see it, you know, another month from now, you're not, you know, upset. Who is this? What are we doing? Type of thing. So there isn't really much for you to digest now other than we will have a contract in front of you at some point in the next month or two. So
I know the consortium, the agreement, and all our projects that we do with them do get a little complicated, but talking with Bart, it sounds like this is a good process to go through for us, at least.
Yeah,
because it actually will work in our favor based on how we've been working with them already.
Yeah, and the contract to the consortium has been a big benefit on a few different occasions. So not just in general terms, it's, you know, they've saved us a couple times on issues. When something breaks, they send more people than, you know, we would otherwise have. So
yeah, if we only had one full-time staff person or one and a half full-time, we may not be able to do the things that they're doing for us. So. Any comments on that? Again, this is informational tonight. All right. Admin 2020-18 Municipal Facilities Plan Update.
So there really hasn't been much of a change since the city council meeting last week. The mayor had announced us to, you know, us talking to a couple different vendors. We are drafting RFQs the same way that we had talked about two meetings ago or three meetings ago. So a RFQ for a space needs in general for a public works facility. An RFQ for a space needs for a police department, and then also a sheriff's department, like commingled. And then a third study will be more based on land use decision making. So that one is the more complex of the three. So it's going to take a little bit more time for us to do, but our hope is that we will have it the next, you know, 3 to 4 weeks ready for city council review and discussion. So the public works RFQ one will be relatively simple because it's just us. So it's just like update the old space needs analysis we did in 2006. Tell us if we're not, or if we had some good ideas then. Change some of the cost estimates. Let us know what our square footage needs are that then we can take to the next level and start talking about sites.
And on that, you may have mentioned it earlier, but public works, we also have them look at fitting the parks in that as well.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, the 2006 study did assume that parks was going to be like one avenue of public works. So we'll have that all in mind again, too. And then for the police one, and this will all have to be reviewed by first the sheriff and then the county board, too. But it could be that the sheriff wants us to do a full space needs analysis for them. So it could be like a full space needs analysis for the city, full one for the county, and then we kind of compare the two and figure out if there's deficiencies that we can plan in the new building. Or if they say, no, we don't need a full one, we just need, like, I don't know, a portion of a building study, then that'll require a little bit more input from the county. So we may have to talk to them about, like, a different scope, not just like, hey, help us plan for the next 20 years or whatever the population threshold is. It might be like we're thinking about moving this staff member out of this area and we're going to renovate it or, you know, whatever they think. So that's where we're at now. Kerry has drafted the RFQs, the RFQ for the public works facility. I would say that it's probably like 95% complete, according to at least staff discussion. So we haven't reviewed it with the mayor yet. And then after that, it would be whatever process we figure out going forward. And then we would take that public works one and then mirror it in police.
Comments? My only comment. So I'm still going back to my what I had on my notes and my thoughts on what we were moving forward with was we were going to do the space needs for the two uses. But I also thought we were moving forward with the kind of the scaled back space need, or the...
Yeah, the land use decision is what I'm calling it, what's in the name type of thing. But yes, whatever that third study is, it is still moving forward. I'm just, well, as I'm looking at it, it is less clear scope-wise than just a public works facility or even a shared one. So I'm trying to do them all three at the same time, but not having all three documents in front of me, I can't say, like, they're all going to be done on February 28th or whatever day it is. So,
because looking at it, you know, we're talking public works and parks, parks and rec. We've got public safety. We're missing admin. And I think we could probably agree that we don't really need to analyze the library services. We're hitting almost all of our departments.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, and we could legitimately say don't analyze the library because they tax themselves, or for themselves, they have their own controls, so we could pull them out. But we're talking public works, parks and rec, admin, public safety. You know, the only one we're not including in that is admin right now. You know, and then the Beecher Center falls under Parks and Rec for the use of that building. You know, I know it's Senior Services that utilizes, but it is Parks and Rec. We're almost there with doing the analysis part. You know, we're doing 2-3 of the primaries. We're still not putting in admin and senior, Senior Services for that, the Beecher Center. So, because we're talking maintenance for parks. My thought was we were going to still kind of look at all of that, just on a scaled back term of what our uses would be. And I'm okay if we don't look at library, other than the fact that they do have the community room, which could be utilized by our recreation, I think, to a much greater
use. You could go over there and tell them that.
Yeah. they fall within the scope of the city of Yorkville.
So, Chris, I have a library.
I'm not doing it. I'm a liaison, but I'm not doing it.
You're not
doing
that conversation.
I am not.
we'll talk about that. So, Chris, on the library, you know, they had the referendum, what's happened, 12 years ago, 14 years ago?
Yeah.
So, I agree. It doesn't make sense to do that. As far as that open space, I think if we're ever going
to... There'd be such a fight to work with that.
Well, there'd be a discussion with the library board and...
So to study that building at all?
The study doesn't make sense for that, yeah.
But for the others, I mean, because the only other use we're really not talking about is admin. Now, we're talking parks, because that's their equipment. Recreation is not going to have... they have needs for their activities. I would like to see us look into that as well as the admin.
We can be determined. Talk round and round, but my priority, and I heard it pretty clear from the city council, the number one building we need to address right now is the public works building, and that's the first one we're going to address. And we talked about also addressing the dual study with the county, which would have it in space needs assessment, but it would probably have one for the county as well, and as Bart said, to see are there areas they can mesh. If they don't, if it doesn't make sense for whatever reason, we still have a space needs analysis, so we've taken care of that. And if we take care of the PD, you know, again, you can see this building, if we resolve this building with one half or the other, there's plenty of room on the other half, and then it's just a matter of a remodel inside, rearrange offices. So I think by default, you're going to take care of all those when you see what you need for the PD.
Well, I think by default, what we'll be doing is picking up the pieces and putting together something kind of like we've done for the past, you know, 40 years is, you know, maybe we renovate a piece here, we shove somebody over into the bank building for a few years, you put somebody down into a building that we picked up the old post office and found a use for. You know, that's what I'm trying to get around is actually plan it appropriately and, you know, figure out which ones we need to work with. I don't think anybody's saying that public works is not something that we have to have. But that building is still standing. It's not falling down. I mean, it's got some holes in it, no doubt about it.
It's questionable.
Well, again, Chris, we can go back and forth on this. I got real clear direction from the city council. The public works is the number one building. That's one we're going to address first. We're going to look at some of the other stuff, but the public works is going to be addressed. I'm still hoping we can have something built. I thought maybe we could do it in 18 months. Talking to people might be 18 to 24 months. We're not going to attack two buildings at one time. We're just not going to build two buildings at one time. It's just not going to happen. And so we're going
to address. I don't think there's any intent to attack two buildings at one time, but to have the plan in place of what we need, that's what I'm looking for.
Okay, that's fine.
Which it doesn't sound like we're getting that way, that we're turning and going three different directions at the same time, potentially.
I think the city council review of all three of those paths occurs almost simultaneously. So I said that, I think, at the first meeting in January. So once we've figured out what we're doing with the public works one, the police one is easy. It's that third one that, you know, becomes a little bit more squirrely. But, you know, it doesn't mean that I can't put something together for the same meeting that we end up reviewing the other two at.
So if we're going for RFQ, we're going back out for solicitation. We're going to go through this process that we went through for the RFQ on the plan already.
That is the current thought, although that is yet to be determined in full. So, yeah, it's probably a brief, more brief timeline as far as, like, window being open. But, yeah, I think the intent initially as drafted will be an RFQ for each one of them.
I've been told by some public works type engineers, designers, or I'm going to call them architects, to modify the study we had 15 years ago or 16 years ago. From the time we signed a contract, they could have a space needs analysis in 60 days.
Yep.
And to me, if we can get something, get a space needs analysis for public works in 60 days, from there look at it and have a clear direction within 6 months, that's the way I want to go. And again, you can disagree with me, that's the direction I'm taking this. And again, I heard from the city council, no objections, including from yourself on that one.
What?
I'm just telling you where I'm going.
So I think you're twisting that a little bit. No. My comment was not, I want to move that building forward. The question was about what building is the most important.
Yeah, that's what I'm taking.
That's two different
kind of discussions. Okay, that's fine. First, we'll disagree. They want to hear us disagree for 20 more minutes.
No, I don't think anybody does, but I think that's a kind of skewing of the conversation that was there a little bit. So, all right, this is informational. We'll have that at some point brought back to council. I think this is the next step. Once those are done, that comes straight to council.
Yeah, it won't be Tuesday, but I would anticipate probably March. For the first week of March. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Old Business Admin 2019-45 website redesign update.
So this is in front of you. You've seen it a couple of times, but I wanted to update everybody on what was taken care of and what still hung out there so that everybody was on the same page moving forward. So the smaller updates are within the memo. So last time we discussed this, October-ish, we were looking at other fonts for the banner wording for Yorkville at the top of the page to make it more unique. So the update was provided by Civic Plus below. If we wanted to do a different type of logo, we would have to do a additional logo contract with them. So that's more of a marketing provision of theirs that they would charge us extra if we actually wanted to create a Yorkville logo through them. Otherwise, we would have to live within the Google font family, and I think we are all really in general okay with that. The next item is the graphic button sign up to employment with the briefcase, and that has been completed. The next item after that was the interior navigation bar. Change that from the blue to the maroon, which has also been completed. The element on the page that viewers can quickly scroll through to see the recent Facebook posts, it's like a little box within the main page. That's been completed and will be updated on the main page. And then a brighter photo on the banner while still complying with all ADA regulations. So following the memo, you have different photos on the webpage, and it's really hard to capture this within a packet. So we did the best we could. So there is three options to choose from. Option one is no overlay. However, the wording has a strong drop shadow on the text so that somebody maybe with a visual impairment can see the differences between that text and the actual photo. The second picture contains an overlay, and the third photo contains a gradient overlay. So our staff working group got back together on this and voted, and the staff recommendation was option number one, which is a no overlay. So that is the first picture, and once again, it was cut off at the top. within the packet because it was too large of a photo to fit within one page. But there is, it's a bright photo. There is no overlay on it, so there's no purple hue. But the text does have a drop shadow behind it. So it's like an offset, and you can see a black. Well, it's actually a white shadow on the maroon color. You can kind of see it right up in the search box. It's like a very faint drop shadow. So that is what we thought looked best. And then we included behind all of these, we included photos that would change out like we do currently. And those are some of the photos that staff had picked to be included in some of the selections moving forward. And with AACVB, we've been getting a lot, and we continue to just build up our photo library. And then the very last update to give to you that you had asked at the last meeting was icons instead of text under Yorkville, Illinois. And Civic Plus gave us a really good explanation that the global navigation items cannot support the icons within Civic Plus's current system. So we cannot have those extra buttons on the bottom because it's just too much for that web page to handle all at once.
So it's like part of their structure that they
correct. Built.
That can't be changed. So,
all
maybe
right,
someday.
All right,
all right.
Come on, man.
Did you say a Google keyword there?
Yeah. Oh,
you did.
I was in a meeting like twice today. I said, okay, Google, and my phone popped up. There it is right now. Okay.
It's better when it happens in the court.
Oh, yeah. You can find that or just dirty looks?
A little bit of both. Dirty looks and sometimes just looks all like, come on. What are you doing?
Well, maybe that's when they make a decision. Guilty. All right, all right.
Yeah.
With that, they're saying that where we have the text, we can't do a logo or an icon.
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
But other websites that they have built have it.
It's like a different
package.
Menu, and it's not the drop-down menu. Like, when you mouse over, it, like, blows up, and you've got all the menu beneath it. So they're saying that they can't change that from a text to a JPEG because of the way that they're, like, you know,
built. Their
built.
Internal structure is built.
So whatever you've been looking at, they're not using that drop-down menu, which is, like, the entire network of how they lay out their pages and stuff. So it'd be my hope that... Aren't they, like, going through a content management system, like, refresh?
They are, but it's also hard to show on this static page. If you go to the Cody, Wyoming example and go to the bottom, you can see, and it's very similar to what you are asking to do for us to do. It's just hard to put it on a piece of paper what it's going to look like when you scroll over. So if you go to Cody, Wyoming's, you'll see that they have a static bar at the bottom. And you just mouse over those, and your graphic buttons will always be there, no matter where you are at on the page. It is like a freeze frame in an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Those are always going to be there. They're always going to be on ours as well.
Yeah.
So
but I was thinking,
we were
like,
talking about this government, like on the Cody page, like this part of it changing this to text.
Yeah.
And they're saying that they can't facilitate that.
They
so
can't
even on the Cody page.
To an icon.
Correct.
Correct.
Because we have it in the format where we actually...
have language beyond that. It's like a whole nother menu, a sub-menu and a sub-sub-menu.
Yeah, because we have the everything pop up right then and there. That's the reason we can't do it.
Correct. Otherwise, you would just have to have an icon and nothing beyond that.
So.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
We could go all icon.
I'm still pushing for the Yorkville Y.
Which we can go out to. It'll just be a separate project, and it would be more dollars.
We just need to do a logo update, basically, because we would have someone do a design on that.
Correct.
How much is that?
I didn't ask for cost just because I figured...
He's getting a raise, so he's willing to pay.
We could use anybody here that we wouldn't have to go through them. We would just provide them the content on it. So if we wanted to use anybody to do a logo...
Yeah, at any time in the process.
It could be anywhere from free to hundreds of thousands
of
dollars, depending on how crazy you want to get.
Right.
Is it worth it? I mean, I just look at this, and it's not synonymous with everything that's Yorkville related. I mean, we're not consistent with the school system and their Yorkville and the Y.
So the last time we talked about branding issues was when we did the downtown. We put those nice signs that had the nice river logo with the bridge over it. Everybody really liked that. So we had talked about at the time trying to mock up some things for a general city. It just didn't pan out.
Yeah.
I mean, if you would like us to go that way, I mean, we can keep it cheap and provide some options. I know that logos and branding tends to be a little bit of a wormhole that, you know, you enter into.
And I think the good thing is, if you're okay with all the changes, just get this up.
Yeah,
get it going.
Right.
Yeah.
We
the
point,
logo can be changed.
Yeah, we point people where we want them to go on a on our website. Very few people go to our homepage. If anything on our homepage, they're going to a new section or a calendar, and that's where we point them. We don't actually point them to the main page.
Yeah.
And we see that from month to month, that we are getting less and less hits.
Yeah, you can see that in the stat sheet.
Yeah. Okay. So if this is okay with you, we will move forward, and I can get you an implementation date at our next admin meeting.
Now, just looking here, so I'm on Prince George's County. It's one of their sites. They have multi. They've got pop-ups. So none of these, they can do a logo up there. Even
that's what
they're
saying.
Correct. They aren't going to do an independent.
But they're working on that potentially?
I would think so. I mean, to me, it's like,
why
I know that your website is structured that way, but it doesn't seem like it should be that big of a deal. So I know that because of the amount of websites they have to
to do that. Okay.
So,
this is their free upgrade. This is not
this
a refresh.
Our,
yep.
And if we want to get into rebranding, that's.
Or even a full website overhaul, they'd be happy to price that out. But this is just a refresh that's included with our annual. And this is 2 years overdue.
Yeah.
So we can change it again in a year. I could start this almost immediately over.
You're excited about that. Right?
Yes. But, it's up to you however you want it to look like, and we can move forward with
it. I say
that.
We take it as it is.
Okay.
And then if we want to bring up the logo, branding and work on that at another point, we can do that.
You want to talk about branding issues like in April, May, 2032?
I would say if we're going to do it in April, May, then, as part of budget discussion, throw numbers at that, see what sticks, if it's even feasible this year or not.
So what do you want, just a big Y or something?
I just thought it'd be cool if it looked more consistent with everything that you see Yorkville with that font.
Like
the
high school
baseball or whatever. Everything is still. It's just like the Yorkville Y.
No, that's why our signs look nothing like it, because they wanted to get away from the high school.
Well, no. We intentionally did something downtown that was downtown. It wasn't intended to be citywide branding for that one. We wanted that to be downtown.
Okay.
Joel was adamant about getting away from red. That's why he went with blue.
Red, black, white.
But keep in mind, that was a split vote. 4-4 with the mayor breaking the tie on that. That was our first tie vote in forever.
Really?
It was a split vote, 4-4.
It's not that big a deal, I just thought.
Versus blue.
No, I was just saying, if we could get someone to design it, could it just be imported easily?
Yeah, we could do that.
Absolutely.
We could do that anyway.
Yeah. I like your idea.
But the bigger issue is,
what if we get somebody donated to us?
That would be great.
Good.
So, are we going to... the question is
Bobansi.
Are you going to redo your police uniforms?
Right.
Are you going to redo the cop cars? Are you going to redo all these other things? That's the conversation that usually happens after you redo it. It's
what if you just
put it on the website?
What if the committee just says, you have the Y drawn up, and you just put it on there?
That can be done.
I mean, for Christ's sakes, you need to go through 4 committee meetings to
not
run a website?
Four. Yeah, that's a little short, aren't you?
It's been a little while.
Do we need to back up and do a special stipend for the special committee of the
the logo?
The Y design?
That'd be
cool. I'd go with the file.
Change board rules. Make a committee.
All right. So we'll move this ahead. Does this move to council for approval, or is it just...
If you can, you don't need to.
No. Yeah, as long as everybody's okay with it.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
This
is like this.
So I know this, and we'll talk about potential branding study later.
Well, would you just want the individual Y up there? Would you want the high school Y meeting?
Oh, yeah.
The remainder of the three. Liquor code regulations.
You want it all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody else.
So,
why I'm here.
Let me see if I can boil this down here. So the conversation has been whether you ratchet up or ratchet down capped license classes, okay, to prevent people from just walking in and being able to apply versus having the license open and the application process being streamlined. So Lisa went through and inventoried all of our classes, who's got them, where they're at, how much they pay. And so then we've got information about cap licenses. So I think I've got a couple issues here. So you've got your A licenses, which are generally like bars, taverns, restaurants. There's no limitation on how much booze you can sell by percentage. So right now there's A1, which is beer, wine, liquor, and package. So there's six of those. There's A2, which is all of that, but you can't sell it at package. So you can't do a six-pack to go out. And right now we have two gaming cafes that have that A2 license.
Imagine that.
Yeah, no A3 licenses, which are beer, wine, and liquor, service bar only, and then A4 beer and wine. Okay, so between all four of those A licenses, you can only have 9 licenses currently. That is usually capped by city council. Okay, so restaurants, which are then R1, R2, R3, R4, and there are different things that you can do within those, are unlimited. And the reason they're unlimited is because with a restaurant license, for any one of those, you have to have 51% of your revenue come from food at least. So it prevents us from having 100 different dance clubs in town and being known as the dance club capital of the world. Okay, so then, which might not be a bad thing, but that's what it does. So then you've got bar and grill, which is like a combination between a restaurant license and a bar. So that says you have to operate as a restaurant during the day, so more than 51% of your revenue comes from there. But at night, you can sell unlimited amounts of booze if you want. So there's 9 places in town that have that. And, you know, generally, we've been okay with all those. So right now, the bar and grill licenses are also unlimited. So as long as you're coming in as a legitimate restaurant during the day, you can have a bunch of bars in town at night. Package, those are limited, and the reason they were limited is because we didn't think that we wanted a whole bunch of package stores, like, you know, throughout town, like one in every strip mall or two in every strip mall, and so we had limited those, and then there's some geographic restrictions on there too. I think it's one per strip mall generally. And then you get into the other licenses, banquet halls, caterings, clubs, which I don't think anybody has an issue with because they're somewhat specific. Okay, so I'm going to skip over those. We're going to go back up to the A1 licenses. So, again, there's 9 between A1, A2, A3, and A4. And so I know in the past the conversation has revolved around who is getting these licenses that ultimately only really wants to do video gaming. Whether it's a video gaming cafe, you know, or it's like a video gaming offshoot inside of a liquor store, which is what OMG had applied for a few years ago. We told them no thanks. Or video gaming in a gas station. So, regardless of what we want to do with those, I think the proposal at the next city council meeting will be to just rewrite this for the fiscal year, because that's coming up May 1, and saying A1 is basically going to stay as is, where it's just beer, wine, liquor, and package. So you can be what Flight does. You can serve beer, you can serve liquor, etc., and then you can also sell it to go. And then a more refined A2, so as it is now, so it's everything you can serve, you just can't sell it to go. And then setting up the A3 and an A4 as a video gaming cafe license, and then a gas station license, so that you then can control the number of gaming cafes if you want to, and control the number of gas station licenses if you want to. You could leave those unlimited, and then we can have them all over town if you want to, but to me, that was, I think as we talked through it, the most clear way to address the issue is that you want to be able to control the number of licenses in gas stations and licenses in gaming cafes, and you aren't necessarily concerned about how many bars and restaurants are just happen to have gaming. It was more just, if you're only going to do gaming, we probably don't want a million of those in town. So I think if you do that, it makes the conversation maybe a little easier for as far as like how they get ratcheted up and ratcheted down, because then it's on a class basis.
And I think that one does help, because that starts to get down to the ones that are the most challenging
is those two classes in terms of what we've had conversations on in the past. The only license that we've turned down was OMG when they came in and asked for their license.
Yep.
So that's kind of where the conversation has come from is with this one is it was trying to control those. Not as much the restaurants. The restaurants, they do what they do for the A1. But it's the other two classes that we were looking at. So I think that does help that scenario. So
yep.
Any thoughts on that from everyone else?
Just the other benefit of that is separating them out is right now you have a scenario where Crusade, Rowdy's, Office, Flight, Millhurst, and Yorkville BP could all close, and in its stead you could have six gaming cafes,
yes,
and then no other licenses available for another restaurant and bar to open.
And that's part of the issue is, you know, then if it's capped, it's capped, and if it's not, you know, so I like the idea of the cap on these areas we're talking about, because then we know what those thresholds are. If somebody wants it, they come in, but we can control those more easily as compared to right now. Literally, if we've seen it happen, someone closes and someone else can come in immediately, grab that license, and we end up with something that you said we don't want. What's that?
We've got packaged liquor licenses. It's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's it's a good approach to work with them. You know, with the conversations we've had, I've talked to the mayor about this, I've talked to Bart about it. I think that seems to make sense, and that's something we can do more quickly to address that type of an issue. Now, the bigger issue is liquor code. It is an overall review and rewrite of it. That's a much bigger issue because that has implications into zoning and public safety, and that could take a while to do, but this has been something that's been pieced together over, like I said, 20 years. There's some duplicity there, so I think it might be something we have to look at simplifying and reworking this code. Because if you really start reading into it, what we have is just a couple pages, but if you go through the entire code, there's some inconsistencies, some overlap on pieces, and maybe we can simplify the overall structure of this entire code and make it easier for the public as well as for us to kind of.
Is this going to coincide with the UDO?
It has a good potential to work within that. As I said, it has implications to zoning, so that can work with it. We may not be on the exact same timeline, but there would be some parallels that we could work with.
Yeah, no, I don't think it'll be that complex. It's not that complex, but
yeah,
we'll see.
This portion, though, and Chris, I agree, there's other things tying this, but this portion.
This one we can do immediately.
Yeah, because that will help us, because we're getting some requests and
so
some comments from some of you. I'm not clear what you want to do, so this will help me say,
so
yes,
right now,
to some of these.
I say we have two objectives that we can move on. One is the immediate, is to clarify these, the A licenses.
Yeah.
Okay.
And set those restrictions in place. So that we could move. And is that something we could do for Tuesday?
Yeah, we're planning on trying to bring
it
forward on Tuesday.
Yeah, because it changes what's in the R.
Yes, yeah, you're correct.
Yeah.
I think Kathy would...
So we're okay bringing this Tuesday.
Yeah.
We're still tweaking the language a little, just
which
to make sure
it
makes sense.
And then the next part would be, and there's no rush on it, but looking at the overall code as a rewrite, reorganization type of a process. But that'd be step two.
Okay.
So, everybody okay with that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that helped me a ton.
All right.
We're going to move. I'll believe so.
Council?
Good.
All right. Any other comments? Didn't think so. EDC 2019-83, Resolution Approving Downtown Exterior Improvement Grant Program. This was sent back to us from Council. Thanks, Ken. So this was sent back as well as the next item.
Yeah, these were budget-based requests coming out of EDC. They said these are good and at the time. We just don't have money for it, so kick to admin in case admin wants to pay for it. And so I don't think anybody is ready to move forward with these, and they will not be in next year's budget proposal.
So I think these
early leak.
So we have these drafted. I think they're good. If we wanted to implement them and fund them, we could at any time. So, you know, talking to Hill, if we wanted to throw that money at it and actually do the sign, we can do it at any point.
Yep.
The exterior, the grant improvements there for the, that program. I have some reservations about, you know, using a subsidy for those improvements. We already have business district downtown. We have the TIF in place, so there are mechanisms. This would be just an additional on top of every other incentive they have to do some work. So maybe if we do get some really strong interest and people want to do something, we could kick it in at any time. We could do a budget, but right now I agree. I don't think it's...
Not
since they're not looking to have it in the budget this year, I don't want to press it. So those...
bring them back someday, maybe, if we ever decide how to do them.
Yeah, at a point to be determined.
Okay.
So that's 19... 83, and then we'll do the same for 2019-90. I don't think we have to rehash the conversation. It's the same one. Okay, so those two are easy. Thank you. Anybody have any additional business?
Negative.
Hearing none, we can adjourn 7:22.
Thank you.